We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
And that's Adam Kaplan, our main man here at 95.7 The Game, NFL Insider. Does it all. Adam, we'll talk some baseball. You know Adam loves baseball. He's got some thoughts on the Astros, got some thoughts on the Sixers. Oh, yeah. I know he's got thoughts on the CBA here. And first of all, Adam, do you got thoughts on my wardrobe? A lot of people coming down on my wardrobe when they see me.
I got to look at this. You know, I'm listening.
Adam, you got to look.
I'm hearing. Yeah, I got to look at this. You know, I know there were some pictures. Now, you were at a Warriors game earlier this week. Am I correct?
I was at a Warriors game. I had to wear a Patrick Mahomes jersey. I lost a bet. So I had to wear the headband and the jersey.
Oh,
it was
awesome.
With our digital manager, our digital reporter, Whitley Sandretto. And a lot of people believe that I enjoyed the look. I will say I look good in Chief Red. A lot of people complimented me here. But it was a rough day for me, Adam.
Well, look, so did you think the Niners were going to win? Was that kind of your feeling going into the game?
Well, I got suckered into it. I usually don't bet on the 49ers, but I felt a little confident. I said, you know what, they're gonna win this game. But I was biting my fingernails throughout.
It looked good through three quarters, though, I will tell you.
It looked good until 3rd and 15, right?
Yeah. Well, that was really one of the key plays of the game, if not the key to the game. But, yeah, so with the CBA, guys, we're going to know in the 24 hours whether this thing's going to happen or not, and that's kind of where it is, where the player reps have their conference call, all 32 of them, and I think it's going to be very, very close. You need three quarters to two-thirds, actually, to pass this thing, to say they want to do it. So it's and then obviously if they like it, they'll recommend to the players what they think, and then the players, all of them, will have to vote. The big holdup, this 17th game is not the issue. It's the way that they'll get paid, and they will not get their full salary for the 17th game, and that is a major issue. Because think about it, if you're one of the highest paid players in the game, if you're making $1 million a game, you know, if you're a quarterback, and you're you know, 1/17 of your salary is $1 million per game. Why in the world would you take less than that? It just makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I'm with you, Adam. And yesterday, I know we're in this social media, you know, era, the microwave news. I thought this was a done deal. You know, the heavyweights were chiming in like, this is done. And then I see Richard Sherman tell Jamal Adams, hold up, young fella. Then this morning, J.J. Watt saying, no way in hell. I guess what I'm asking, Adam, do you think the owners tried to pull a fast one over on the players, or do I just need to take a step back from what J.J. Watt said? There's no way in hell he's going to, you know, the players would go for something like this and quit dreaming of the wild card weekend to where I'd get three games on Saturday and Sunday.
Well, think about it. They're doing this a year in advance. This is not when it expires after this coming season.
Right.
So you're talking about a year from now. I mean, you have to look, there's certain parts of the CBA proposal that's really actually way better than the previous one, the 2011 one. Several issues that I think the owners are coming up on. But the big ones, okay, the big ones, yeah, are they going up a percentage or percentage and a half? Potentially, yes. From 47 to as much as 48.5 of the gross revenues, yeah, that's certainly big. But there are plenty of areas where they're not going big enough. Their minimum cash spend over 4 years, They're not doing what the NBA does or other sports do, where you have to spend it up to a certain amount per year every year, not over 4 years. The league is betting a little bit, very little. That's a big issue. They're just not doing enough here. But the players have to look at it and say, if they hold out and play under 2011 rules, which by the way are detrimental, we'll get to them to a second.
Right?
Is it really worth us holding out for another year? I would say no. because of some of the issues that they're going to be happening going forward here if they don't get a deal done.
Adam Kaplan here on 95.7 The Game Hour, NFL Insider. Adam, looking at the format here, the playoff expansion, you know, three wild card games on a Saturday and Sunday, and only one bye week per conference. And then if they do expand the games to or go to a 17-game schedule, how do you feel about that? Because me, it puts too much value, too much emphasis on getting that top seed, and I just don't think it's fair. Think about this year. Green Bay would have probably had to play. They would have had to play on a wild card weekend had this format been in place this past season.
Look, it puts less emphasis on being great, no doubt. Now, obviously, there's a heavy emphasis on the first seed because there's only one per conference in this proposal. That's certainly, to me, an issue. But you know what's interesting? Spending time with the players over the last couple weeks, particularly at the Super Bowl, they went from, I'd say, a year to 2 years ago being totally against a 17-game season, where they're really not so much because, A, they're going to get, in terms of health and safety, they would get way more time off in the offseason, less practice time, less hitting, all the stuff that's important to them, where the owners don't care about that. They're happy to give that back. That's an easy give back. But the problem is that the owners are really not going as far as I think the players would like. And the big motivation for the owners is simply this. You've got the TV deals up over the next year. They want to get with the networks as soon as possible, but they can't do it unless they have a new CBA. And that there's so much money to be made with these TV deals and media deals, and that's why there's a media kicker involved in the new CBA. The owners have so much motivation to get this done. That's why they've been on some small subjects which they normally wouldn't do. But the heavy lifting stuff, they're still not getting there.
Adam, is a 17-game schedule a deal breaker for the players?
No, not. I would say this: are there players who don't want to do it? Yes, but it's not the deal breaker, Bonte, that it once was. I'm just telling you, based on my conversations with people, it's not the negative response that I once got for whatever reason. It's just how they get to that money. The NFL's got to show that they're willing to pay more than that. Their minimum cash spending is not much more than it was before. That's a problem. Because you know what I'm seeing? A lot of teams delay doing extensions until they know they have to do them. Mm-hmm. If they don't get the kind of deal that they want, they'll just wait till the last year where they have to get up to the 89% spend. And look at the Bengals. It's ridiculous how much money they have. The Browns have a lot of money.
Right.
There are a lot of teams that have a lot of cap space and cash they haven't spent yet.
Adam, when you look at the three or the four major sports, to me, the NFL is king. And I'm just fixated on those two extra playoff spots and how much more exciting the end of the season would be with those group of teams trying to get those two new spots. Where do you come out on that, the two new spots? Do you think it would be overkill? Because I don't.
Well, you know what it does? Talking to coaches about this, it helps them keep their jobs. That's certainly one thing, because a lot of this goes down to the last few weeks. If you don't get in, maybe you don't keep your job. But the big thing that surprised me when we talk about this, I do a Eagles show every week, and we ran a poll, and about 875 people voted, and surprisingly, this was I don't want to say a major surprise, but it was a surprise. More people voted that they like the extra games than they didn't. So clearly the fans don't care. They're like, hey, more football? Great.
Right.
And that means a lot, because remember, and by the way, with the shortened preseason, you know, this has been the big push for Roger Goodell, the NFL's commissioner. He has basically come out and said that the preseason games are not representative of what the NFL should be about in his own way. So getting it from 4 to 3, and by the way, he had mentioned getting it to 2 many years ago, but that's just not feasibly possible. But getting down to 3 is actually a good thing. But one thing, though, with the 17 games, if it does wind up passing, we don't know where that extra game is going to be played. That to me is something that has got to be decided. I don't know how they would do that. Would you have a neutral site game? Would you play overseas? We just don't know that yet.
Yeah, that's wild. I read a report today, Adam, that one team may have to play 9 home games one season. The next year they play 8 home games. It's really weird. And I also wonder if they will implement 2 bye weeks into the
just
season.
Just going to bring that up.
Yeah,
right.
2 bye weeks at least.
We don't know that.
You know, yeah. We don't know that. And then with the preseason, I'm a big fan of the scrimmages, the joint practices. I feel like teams get a lot more work done in those joint practices as opposed to a preseason game. But it looks like they're going to cap the joint practices at four with this new CBA deal.
That's correct. So I've already talked to teams about this. The way it works is if you have a team coming in for a preseason game, you ask the head coach, and you've done this in months in advance. I remember talking to Mike Zimmer about this three or four years ago. I saw Zim at the combine. And I always ask coaches, hey, are you having combined practices? And they, he said, look, yeah, we've talked to that. It might have been the Jaguars a couple years ago. He said, yeah, oh yeah, we're doing it. They said yes, but not every coach, I could tell you, Seahawks, they don't like doing them. They will not have other teams come in and have combined practices. They don't like it. You know what happens? Some teams are concerned with the over aggressive play because you kind of know your own players, you don't know the opponents. And some teams simply they don't want to do that. But overall, they've been fairly popular. Over 22 teams last year had combined practices with each other during August.
Adam, I need your help, mainly around the league. And I want to stop in Dallas because, to me, Dak Prescott has a false sense of self-worth if it's true that he wants $35 to $40 million. And I almost got to applaud Jerry Jones and company for not giving in. Do you think this is unfair how he's being treated, the fact that he hasn't signed an offer or they've given him one and he thinks he's better than that? What do you think's going on in Dallas? Because every day that goes by to me, Adam, I'm like, something might be up here to where the Joneses feel like Dak may not be the answer.
Just understand, though, that when you look at the Cowboys situation, they historically, and this has been a bad issue, they wait to the last minute to get for the biggest deals. Like what? Last year, they got a couple extensions done. Jalen Smith, they got done because they knew they can get it done. It wasn't going to be the complex deal that Dak Prescott's would be. They did not get, surprisingly, Amari Cooper's deal done. Then Amari, I'm told by a couple Cowboys sources, that the game in Philly, when they really needed a win, he got benched.
Yeah.
He actually got benched.
Ooh.
Despite every reports out there, people I spoke with said he got benched, needed to be more competitive. So now here's the issue. And one thing I do want to add here, it's very important for people to understand this. Because there's no CBA, the new one has not been done, the rules in the final year of the cap are every NFL team gets two tags to use, where you only get to use one previously.
Gotcha.
So you could have two transition tags to use. You could use one franchise and one transition, but you can't use two franchise tags. But so if you're now the Cowboys, you can tag Dak. You can tag Cooper. Do Cooper be smarter with the transition tag? Like, now, guess what? If you're the 49ers, on Tuesday, it was the first day you could tag teams. And if they want, obviously Armstead would be the one you would want to tag.
Right.
I don't see anyone else you would tag there. But for teams that have two players, you can do two. That is really detrimental to the players, by the way. That's a major – to me, that's a major issue that the players have to take to in consideration here.
Well, that's a big deal there. What are you hearing about Armstead, Emmanuel Sanders here locally? And then a lot of people – I guess when I was out on vacation, a lot of people were clamoring for Tom Brady replacing Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that's ridiculous.
No,
but
no.
What are you hearing about Sanders here? Do you see him being back with the 49ers next season?
Yeah, I think they'd like to have him, but the big one is Armstead. Emmanuel Sanders certainly adds something to them. You know, when we were talking about before the trade that he made the most sense from a leadership standpoint, and he clearly is. He gave them what they thought they were going to get. Plus, this trade was done during the season. But the big one is Armstead. I suspect that if they don't think they can get a deal done with his representatives, he'll get a franchise tag. Because if you really look at it, other than Armstead, Jimmy Ward, by the way, look, he had a good season, but we know his injury history. That one will be a little bit challenging because how do you structure it? But that one's interesting to watch. But the big one's Armstead. Sanders, they've done deals with his agent before. In fact, the Niners, his agent, Todd France, he did the landmark deal with the Niners many years ago with Nate Clements.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
yeah, I remember doing reporting on that one. That was it was a major deal at the time. But they have a great contract negotiator. To me, Armstead will stay. Sanders, it depends on what he wants and what he's willing to accept. Remember, he's an older player. He's got maybe 2 years left in him. He's got to be realistic. And the Niners have some challenges here, clearly. With Ward, Armstead, and Sanders. But we've got some time here. over the next week or so, we're going to learn a lot more about these contracts. But the tag, folks, is everything, and that's why I think Armstead will get it if they can't get him done.
Real quick, Adam, I know we're up against it, and we thank you for the time today. I saw your thoughts on baseball. Rob Manfred, he looks incompetent as hell. Mm. What are your thoughts on this Houston Astros fiasco?
Well, first of all, a guy in his position needs to have a little bit better awareness. Look, you got to be very careful with how you handle yourself. When there's a team that's clearly cheated and it's documented and they've admitted to it and it's egregious and it actually could have impacted the way that they won and their World Series win, how could you minimize it? And the way that he talked about it and the way he disrespected the trophy and everything else, it's just embarrassing for a guy of his ilk. And plus, this guy's an attorney. He knows better than that. All the scorn he got, he should get. I so applaud Mike Trout for speaking up because he's not a guy that typically speaks up. I just love that he spoke up and a lot of the veteran players spoke up. And not that I want anyone to get beaned, but we know the way Major League Baseball is. And we know it's probably coming. We don't know when it's going to come, but it's going to come. And it, you know, let's hope people are careful the way they do it. But the fact of the matter is it's disgusting the way this thing has been handled. Now, by the way, though, I do understand that they were going to give the players immunity right. You know, for speaking up. But the way that they try to sweep the thing under the rug and the way that the Astros owner handled it, are you kidding me? Oh, Jim Crane?
Laughable.
He ought to be suspended for stupidity.
Right. I'm with you, Adam. What did you make of Poppy Ortiz chiming in about fires? I'm like,
that
wow.
That disappoints me. You know, that disappoints me. Why would he say that when the guy's blowing the whistle on cheaters?
Yep.
This isn't drugs here, folks. This is actually here.
Wow, that's interesting. Stuff,
yeah, think about it. Like it's one thing if you're speaking up against a drug policy or something that got leaked on it. This is actually cheating the game. Like, how in the world could you be? Look, why would you back you're basically, if you're going against Spire, the guy who spoke up, then you're going against the integrity of the game. Why would you do that? I don't understand that.
Nah, it was wild. And Big Poppy, don't forget, he was mentioned on the Mitchell Report way back when, so he hasn't been squeaky clean in his career. It's just odd stuff happening in the game of baseball.
Yeah,
I don't get it either. We'll talk more about your Sixers at a later time, closer to playoff time, because I know you're stressing out over the Sixers, Adam.
Well, that was a great win. Do you guys know what happened last night? I mean, it was one of the most unbelievable games I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was wild. Brooklyn went on a, 36-8 run or something crazy like that?
It was like 44-6 or something. Wow. They go up early. Embiid was incredible. They go up 20-6, and then they get absolutely blitzed where they had no energy. You know, the Sixers are NBA's best home team. And then former Warrior Alec Burks goes off. He is 19, and he really carried them in overtime. He played great. And that was without Ben Simmons.
Yep.
This Sixers team, though, they're so bad on the road, only 9 road wins this season. That's a real problem.
I can't wait to watch them in the playoffs, Adam. Eastern Conference playoffs is going to be fun. Western Conference playoffs is going to be fun.
Let's go.
We'll be watching from far because the Warriors are definitely not going to be involved in the playoffs this season. Adam Kaplan, everybody, our NFL insider here at 95.7 The Game. Thanks, Adam. Thanks for catching up to us. Adam,
a lot of good stuff there.
A lot of good stuff. What do you think about the CBA?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.